Welcome to the Writing Talk Podcast with Mikey Campling. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Writing Talk Podcast. And today we're looking at the subject of writing faster and achieving your goals as a writer. Now, let's get this straight right from the outset. There's much more to writing than hitting a bunch of word count goals. One of the problems with word counts and with making them public is that many writers feel like failures when they compare themselves to the word counts of prolific writers. Also, a word count target can feel very demotivating, and it can even be used as a stick we use to beat ourselves up with. Now, since we are trying to establish a working attitude to our writing and a positive mindset as one of the main tools in that working attitude, then any anxieties that we have about our word counts are very destructive. And sometimes we can have these anxieties just by having the word count goal there. We don't intentionally reflect on it so much. It's just sort of subconsciously, almost, or perhaps in the back of your mind, something nagging away and telling you that you're not hitting that word count. So if there's so much to worry about with word counts, why do so many people and so many writers make a big deal of them? Well, here's the reason, and I think it's a fairly simple one. Good writers want to improve, and it's almost impossible to improve on any given practice, whatever it is, unless you have first spent some time on seriously evaluating that practice. And this means that we must focus down on exactly what we are doing with a good level of precision. In other words, we have to know exactly what we're doing in order to improve it. And I think, you know, that sounds straightforward and hopefully sensible to you. Now, unfortunately, we're not talking about improving a golf swing or a sprint time here. There are some difficulties when you think about evaluating your practice as a writer, because almost all writers work in isolation for significant portions of their writing time. Perhaps for a lot of us, perhaps, you know, pretty much all the time until much later. And so it's especially true that you're working alone when it comes to the creating a first draft stage. So we don't really have anyone else to give us feedback at that stage often. You know, in the middle of our writing sessions, we're very much on our own. Also, most of our analysis at this stage would be to do with the quality of the work, and any judgment that you come to would really be pretty subjective and dependent on how you're feeling at the time. I doubt that there's any writer who hasn't looked at a draft at some point and declared it to be the worst thing that they've ever written. And yet, strangely enough, the exact same piece of work that they are looking at and just judged as awful was perfectly acceptable at the time of writing. And, you know, we've often looked at things and perhaps and thought, oh, that's wonderful. And then the next day, it seems to be absolute dreadful rubbish. So it's quite hard then to evaluate that in a meaningful way and decide what to do to make it better. So what do we do? Do we just throw our hands in the air and say the whole thing is just, the whole writing process is magical and mysterious and completely beyond our control and understanding? Well, no, I think as working writers, we need to focus on one of the few quantitative aspects of our work that's available to us and use it as a sort of benchmark, something we can look at in a more objective way and use it to judge our progress. And the number of words that we produce is, in a given time, is easily the most accessible data that we can gather. Pretty much any program you're using will be able to tell you how many words there are in a given document or in a section. And something like Scrivener makes it very easy to track that data. In other words, our word count is pretty much all we've got, so let's use it. And if you add to that, something that's perhaps a well-worn argument, but worth going over just in case you're fairly new to this game, and many people would say that the only way to improve our work as writers is to produce more work. And the only way that you're going to produce more work in a given time is to write faster. I mean, there isn't really any way around that. So what do I do about this? Well, I've avoided tracking my word count for as long as possible because I felt that nailing all the details down in some hideous spreadsheet would totally spoil my enjoyment and prove to be a massive distraction. And let's face it, unless you're one of those lovely people who positively enjoys poring over a hot spreadsheet, then lots of people do, and good luck to you. But lots of us sort of look at them and say, oh, no, it's almost like a homework task. You know, we really don't want to have to complete this dreaded spreadsheet. But after a considerable period of time, you know, writing for years in this kind of keep trying to improve things, look at this thing, look at that thing, rather ad hoc way, I thought that the methods I tried, and I tried things like, you know, writing it on calendars and, you know, thinking, oh, good, I've done more than so many words today. That's a good day. Sheets of paper all over the place. You know, I'm sure we've all had the post-it notes, the pads of paper, the sheet on the wall, the chart, whatever it is. I've tried all kinds of things. But when it came down to it, if you'd said to me exactly how fast can you write when you're pushing yourself on a good day, I would have had to say, I don't know, because there wasn't a really reliable system for me to fall back on and compare my progress over time. So for all I knew, I might still be writing at exactly the same speed as when I began quite a few years ago. And the fact that I was so in the dark about my own performance just struck me as completely ridiculous. I mean, if we asked a group of Olympic sprinters about their practice times, they'd no doubt be able to give us chapter and verse dating way back over their whole careers. And it would seem very strange to us if any world-class athlete simply shrugged his or her shoulders when you ask them about their personal best performances. So something that people who are looking at improving their performance, they track things. They do it for themselves. They do it in their own private way. But they need some kind of system. And I think that's something that as writers we ignore at our peril. And I certainly wish I'd got on board with this earlier. So I went out looking for ways to track my word count. And also I wanted to be able to track my progress so I could see if I was getting better from day to day or whether there was anything that was getting in the way, were there any stumbling blocks to my improved progress. So I did what most people do probably. I started, you know, trawling through the app stores and the this, that and the other browser extension. And most of them seemed a bit overcomplicated. And, you know, just another thing that would distract me. I'd worried I'd spend time twiddling about with an app and getting that set up than I would actually instead of getting with my writing. Now, there is one that is dedicated for writers built by Chris Fox, and his website is chrisfoxwrites.com. It's only available for Apple devices, so it wasn't any good to me because I use Windows and Android, so I couldn't use that app. I can't comment on it, so it's something you can look into and try for yourselves if you like. Chris Fox also provides a spreadsheet, which you can find by Googling around, I should think. And it's to do with his book. He wrote a book with a slightly contentious, I think deliberately contentious title of 5,000 words per hour. And it's not a bad little book. It's worth a look. Don't be put off by the title. I think that is, you know, rather an overblown title to grab your attention. But if you look at the book, it's a fairly short book. And it's not one of these that says, oh, you must do this, you must do that. There's a lot of good, practical, common sense advice in that book. And one of the things he recommends is this tracking business. And he does provide a spreadsheet. And I looked at it and it didn't quite meet my requirements. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I looked at it and thought, no, that's not going to suit what I want. And I looked, you know, again, wasted probably a lot of time looking for other people's spreadsheets online. And none of them quite met exactly what I wanted. Some of them were for something far too specific, like NaNoWriMo. Some of them weren't flexible enough or were perhaps a bit overcomplicated. So I thought, I have a reasonable amount of IT skill. I thought I'd just crack on and make my own. So I've made my spreadsheet fairly simple. And I put the emphasis on making each individual entry, which is one entry for each little writing session, very easy to complete. I only wanted to spend a few seconds just filling it in and then, you know, save it and forget about it. And I left it quite open-ended as well, sort of fairly free form, so it doesn't matter if I write for one session a day or five or six. There's plenty of space in there to put it all in. And I worked towards a word count target, of words per hour, which I've sort of programmed in so that some of the fields will react to that target, and they will make a calculation. So they'll be able to calculate a target figure, and they'll be able to calculate the actual rate that I achieved. And there's a couple of columns that will change color as well if I actually hit those targets, and they show us, you know, like plus or minuses hitting the target, and other ones. The word per hour will change color if I hit the amount that I want it to. And those things are kind of programmed in, but not in a complex way, in a fairly easy way to change. Now, if you'd like a copy of that word count tracking spreadsheet, it's free on my website when you sign up for my newsletter at writingtalkpodcast.com/newsletter. And in the first letter that you get, as long as you confirm your subscription, I make sure everyone confirms, because I really hate spam. I don't want to be sending out spam. You'll get a link in a newsletter. And there's another poster in there, sort of writer at work poster to stick on your door just as an extra little thing. But it's the spreadsheet will be there, downloadable from Dropbox. Now, you don't need a Dropbox account to download something from someone else's Dropbox. I think Dropbox will tend to prompt you to say, oh, just get an account, get a free account. But actually, you don't need, you can dismiss that entirely. I'm afraid at the moment it's just an Excel spreadsheet. I will have a go at uploading it to Google Docs, and that link will also go in the newsletter if I get that working okay. I'm not sure how well it will convert, but it's worth a go. I will try and do that for you and see, because not everyone has Excel, of course. It's actually, I've been calling it a spreadsheet, but the resource you get is actually an Excel workbook. And there's one sheet in there which you can keep as a master sheet and leave blank. And it's very easy just to copy each sheet. You sort of click on the tab at the bottom and tell it to send it to the back or the front, depending where you want it. And that way you can keep filling in the sheets and have a blank one to copy each time. There are some instructions on the sheet, so hopefully they will help and be fairly self-explanatory. There's a space on there, as well as the time that you've written for and the date and the number of the session. There's a place to record some notes. So, for instance, if you've had a really good day, you feel you've done well, then you could jot down the factors that helped, that contributed to that success. Similarly, if a writing session doesn't go so well, you could make a note of what went wrong. For example, you could jot down and, you know, be honest, you were distracted by social media, or perhaps beyond your control, there was some background noise, or, you know, a family event or something like that just kind of got in the way of that session. And that way, if you don't hit your target, you kind of, at least you're letting yourself down gently. You're not saying, oh, you fool, you can't do this, you're a failure. Saying, yeah, well, now I understand why. So, you know, somebody's interrupted you. Perhaps you just make sure you have an agreement with them, that you stick a notice on your door or something. Perhaps the free poster you get with the newsletter. So don't knock when that poster's up, please, unless it's an emergency. And it's always good to acknowledge the factors that slow you down. And just deal with them, whatever they are. You know, perhaps it's you were kind of stuck on exactly what you're writing. And so should you go back and look at your planning stage? And could you, you know, separate a session where you just scribble, as I was saying in the previous podcast, just scribble down your ideas for 5 minutes before you start that session. And it does make the session ever so much more productive. Because as you scribble, you'll see the little errors that you've made, or the assumptions that you've made. And you think, oh, yeah, well, he can't do that because he hasn't got the key. So, you know, he can't take that call. He hasn't got a phone. You know, these little things that you can just decide, you know, have I got the time of day right? I said it was dark, but actually in the previous chapter, it was only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what's happened there? These things, if they occur to you in the middle of a writing session, they're disastrous because they derail your flow. And it's good if you can think of them up front. Now, as it stands, the workbook has 100 rows, because I thought that was quite a nice manageable number. I don't like to scroll down great long columns of information. I'd rather just copy to another sheet and carry on from there. But you can extend the columns if you wish. There's a handle at the bottom right of each cell, and you can click and hold on that and drag it down through the column, and it will extend whatever was above including any formulas and so on, and it will sort them out so that they aren't, you know, adding up the wrong column or the wrong line. I'm going to do a screencast soon just to go through it and put that up on YouTube. I haven't quite got around to that yet. I will be doing that very soon. And I will put the YouTube video up on the website at writingtalkpodcast.com so they'll be able to see it there. Well, I'll wrap that little talk on tracking your word count up for the moment. As your take-homes, as your action steps from this, give it a go. It does help. It helps you to actually have an objective measure each time you write that is recorded and builds up over time. I think those are the crucial elements. It has to be simple and straightforward, whatever you choose to do. If you don't want to use my spreadsheet, that's fine. You might want to make your own or find an app or something you can use. It has to be positive. It has to acknowledge where things go right and jot down where things go wrong so that you can work on those items. And really keep it simple. Whatever you do, stick to that principle. Okay, I'd like to just mention briefly what I've been reading. I have kind of given up on Jonathan Franzen's corrections. I don't like to give up on a book. I'll perhaps go back and finish it later. I've read lots of literary fiction. I often quite enjoy it. I like something I can get my teeth into. This one is just kind of a bit all over the place and sort of goes on and on in too much detail about things that don't seem to move the plot forward at all or particularly inform the characters. So it's one of those things, just a taste issue. It's not a question of technique or anything. I'm sure it's well written enough. It's just something that's not particularly to my taste at the moment. But there are some characters that I'm quite interested in. I would like to find out more about them. So what I've done, I've gone for a bit of a break. I've gone onto something with a totally different flavour. I've got a copy of the Doomsday Chronicles, a good old bit of sci-fi, edited by Samuel Peralta and written by several authors, quite a few of whom I've already heard of. Just as a total disclosure, I am sort of in touch vaguely with Samuel Peralta on Facebook, so I know of his work, and he's posted that he was able to offer a review copy. So I asked for a review copy, and so far enjoying it. I've read three of the stories already. They're varying lengths, and they're all on a kind of doomsday post-apocalyptic type scenario, and they're all very different, which is nice. I think anthologies, some people hate anthologies. I think you're bound to get some writers that you prefer more than others and some stories that you prefer more than others. I think that's just what you sign up for when you open an anthology. But on the other hand, the flip side of that is that you often find some new gems, and there's a couple of writers there already who I've kind of thought, oh, I really like that story. I must go and check out what else they've done. So it's nice to have a little sort of taster menu when you get an anthology. So I do enjoy that. I like to get one every now and then and see what's going on. I probably post a review of this because I like it well enough, and that'll be going probably up on my site at mikeycampling.com. Now, I've made a bit more effort with the show notes. I'm gradually trying to improve the quality of the podcast and the experience for you, the listener. It's very good of you to come along and listen. You're very, very much appreciated, I can tell you. So I've done much more detailed show notes for this episode, and they'll be up on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com. So it's worth heading over there. And I hope I'm sort of getting the hang of the whole recording thing. I'm looking at investing in a new microphone because this one is a bit good at picking up the wrong kind of noises, but it's not too bad. And I'm gradually kind of improving. It's interesting. I apply the same sort of working attitude to learning about podcasting as I do to my writing. It's exactly the same attitude, the same kind of mindset. So I'm going out there, I'm learning, I'm seeing who's a good, reliable source of information, and I'm listening to podcasts, I'm, you know, reading blogs and things. And yes, when I look back, you know, in a few episodes, I'll be able to look back and say, oh, those earlier ones were pretty bad, actually, one way or another. That's the recording quality or whatever. Or maybe I rambled or spoke really quickly. All of those things, I'm just addressing one at a time. I'm not going to beat myself up about them. Sure, there's a learning curve. I think there is to anything. And I'd love it if you would take the same attitude to your writing. You know, just look at it all the time and think, yep, okay, this was great. That needs a bit of help. That needs a bit of a shove. What do I need to do? Is there another source of information I need? you know, and just look at it very objectively. There are far too many people who start writing and quit. So don't be one of those. And I think this is a bit controversial, but I think some people, even those who are quite good sellers, don't always necessarily improve. Some people seem to plateau. I hope I don't do that. I think the really great writers are the ones who just constantly improving and whose work just gets better and better. Okay, if there's something you'd like to hear about on the show, please contact me via the website. That's the easiest thing to say. If you go there, you'll find links to the Facebook page and so on. That's quite a good method. There's a contact form, obviously a very good method, and that will come through to my email and so on. Just go through to there. I mean, the Twitter isn't probably the best way. There is a Twitter feed, but it's not terribly useful at the moment. Of course, you could always reach me directly on my website at mikeycampling.com. And there's a newsletter there as well. If you fancy a couple of free books, you can sign up there and you get some free books and other materials that come through to you over time. And that's a good way to actually go to my Facebook author page and mention things there. And it's always, you know, if I get some good questions or comments, I'll be able to mention those on the show and perhaps give you a shout out if you'd like. That would be nice. Try and give something back. I hope you found this episode helpful. I hope I've convinced you to track your work. If this episode has been useful to you, or if you've enjoyed it, then please feel free to subscribe by whichever method is easiest for you. That would be great. That will help me to keep going because I do have to take time away from my writing to record this and post it and edit it and all those things and do the show notes, etc. And subscribers are great and sharing would be really very much appreciated. So if you're in a writer's group or anything like that, you know other people who might be interested in writing or thinking of taking up writing, all are welcome. So please do feel free to share it around, you know, tweet it, Facebook it, whatever. That would be fantastic. You can also find me on Stitcher and on Spreaker.com, which is a weird, it's like speaker with an R after the P. Spreaker.com. And I am still having a little bit of trouble with my iTunes feed, but the good folks at Apple Support Podcast team are on it. So hopefully something will happen there and that will be reinstated. You might find an old feed, but for the moment, other methods of subscribing are available. Okay, thank you very much for listening. And please keep up with your writing. Please feel free to leave comments as well on the website. But keep writing, keep tapping at the keys, keep scribbling away, and above all, keep smiling. Goodbye.